Yo, yo, yo! Back at it again!
Episode five. How many followers?
First one in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. How many followers? I don't know. We got enough audience here that they keep coming back for more. So, back at it again, and wanted to start off with a story that you're not aware of, and I wanted to keep it away from you because I wanted to show how you indirectly affected my life over the past week.
And this is a good one.
This is a good one. So, I get a text. You know how Chick-fil-A ran that promotion last week, right?
Yeah.
Where you buy one meal in 2019 and you get the same exact meal in 2020 for free.
I texted your wife that.
You did. So, my wife sends me a text that morning and says, "Hey, Chick-fil-A is running this blah blah blah." And I'm like, I'm already in the mode, you know, we talked about our goals. I'm already in the mode of like, dude, I don't want to eat Chick-fil-A. Like, you know, I'm trying to eat healthy. Like, come on, let's get this health train rolling. Which that happened on what? Was that Monday or Tuesday?
Yes, Monday evening, correct.
Monday, yeah. So, she floated the text, and then the day goes on. She gets home, and there's a Blue Apron in the house getting ready to, like, she's getting ready. She's pulling all the stuff out. I'm like, what are you doing? Because we kind of left it as was. Like, I just figured like, that's what we were doing. So, she gets home. She starts pulling the stuff out of the fridge. I'm like, and, you know, she gives me that look like, I don't want to be cooking this. And I'm just like, hey, I'll go get the Chick-fil-A.
Ooh, bad move. Did you see that line?
Bro. So getting into that. So I'm like, I'll go get the Chick-fil-A. So I hop on there. And I got the app.
Yeah.
I bang, 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 bang. Ask everybody what they want. I even get a free fry. I'm like, oh, yeah, go be cool. Get in and out. Dude, I get out. You know, I pull up on... what's that stretch of road going out in Quarter G?
So Jefferson?
That's Jefferson, basically. Get out off Jefferson and on to the court, getting into Quarter G. And I'm like, traffic's a little heavy. for 5:30, it's a little heavy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there can't be all these people going to Chick-fil-A. So I get up to the first light, and I'm like, man, like it's just like stonewalled right there at La Roca and whatever. And I'm like, man, all right. So I bust out, get around some people, and get up there. I'm like, dude, is everybody going to Chick-fil-A? I was like, dude, no way. So I get to the second light, and then right there at the Pod Piper.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. Get up to the next one, and I'm like, holy. Dude, you hit the turn and pulled around there. Everybody's in that median between McDonald's.
Yeah.
And Matt and that Mattress Firm place and Walmart and all that, everybody's in the median. So I see people are going up. They're going up to Penn Station and turning around so they can come back down the road to go back in. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm sitting there and I'm texting Taylor. I'm like, I am never getting food again. And I'm sitting in line in the median and a dude in front of me just starts backing up. I'm like, what is he doing? And I look ahead, and there's a tractor trailer trying to come out from that gas station / mattress place, and he's trying to come across and come back towards us. So everybody starts backing up. Dude in front of me just bumps me. Doesn't even get out of the car.
Yo, my bad, yo.
Yo, I get out of the car, and I look at my bumper. I'm like, dude, there's nothing on there. I'm like, I just look at him. I'm like, I throw my hands up, and he just kind of like, you know, does the shrug down.
My bad.
Yeah, and keeps it moving. But so I sit up there, and dude, it's probably an hour. I'm out there. It's like 6:30 before I get in the parking lot. Okay, so you know how Chick-fil-A does. They got people out there taking everybody's orders. But what happened was they were bottlenecking everybody at the beginning because everybody kept – all those people were always getting done with everybody fast. So, like, the workers kept etching out, so it bottlenecked so no one could get in there.
Right.
And then you had everybody sitting in the drive-thru just waiting to get their food, basically.
Right.
So, finally, another 30 minutes, I get into the line. And the woman – dude, kid comes up to me and is like, hey, I got a mobile order. He's like, all right, cool. Just keeps it moving. Next woman's is the pay woman. She comes around the corner and she's like, She's like, are you Ryan Flanagan? I'm like, yep. She's like, you got a mobile order? I was like, yep. She like, you know that doesn't go with the promotion, right?
Excuse me?
I looked at her. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, the mobile order doesn't work for that.
That's bad marketing.
I was like, in my mind, I just want to look at her and be like, so you're going to take my money now and then not give it back to me? Like, why? We're in 2019. Why wouldn't a mobile order work? So she gives me on the spot, and you know, I got people behind me. It's wall to wall chaos. She's like, well, if you want, we can redo your order right now. I'm like, I just looked there. I was like, I don't even know what I ordered because I ordered the lot thinking that I was going to get it free in January. I didn't come here for just one chicken sandwich. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't even, on the spot, I just blanked. I just looked there. I was like, you know what? I don't care anymore. Finally get up there, get my food. Took me 2 hours.
All right, well.
2 hours. That takes a lot, pal. Well,
hindsight of that is I owe you because due to some unforeseen circumstances, we didn't even go.
You didn't go?
No, so my bad.
Dude, could be glad.
Yeah, I seen that post on Facebook.
Okay, so just to finish this one up, for people like to not understand what we're talking about, which most will, the line was backed up all the way down the gas station, all the way down to Penn Station, both ways. Okay, yeah. So like there was nobody directing traffic, number one. So you would have thought there would have been like police on site, like waving people in and out. No, it was like a free-for-all, everybody cutting the line, everything.
Do you think the city of South Charleston texted Chick-fil-A after that, like the manager?
You're never doing this again. Is that Charleston or South Charleston?
Well, that place divides up. I think that's South Charleston.
Is it South Charleston? Yeah. Okay. Well, and secondly, not only was the lines all the way in cars, dude, the line was all the way out to the dumpster on the sidewalk to get into the place. There was so many cars in the Walmart parking lot and people like cutting across. There was not a car one in the actual parking lot itself that was parked for the restaurant.
So did you take your online order?
Yeah. Oh. I took my online order and then because there's four things you can do now. You can do drive through on mobile where you basically just pull up and tell them, hey, I got a mobile order, and they say okay. You can do curbside where you pull into a spot and they bring it out to you. And then you can also do
You still got your receipt? Because I'd go out there and be like, look, I need to talk to a manager. I waited 2 hours.
Mine printed out yellow.
Nah, I'd go in there and be like, listen, I waited 2 hours for this.
I actually thought about telling Taylor, like, hey, go turn your charm on and go get this taken care of. But, like, 2019, dude, mobile orders should count, man.
Yeah.
Because you know how many promotions that fast food companies run that get you to download the app? So you can get some sort of deal.
So Chick-fil-A Southridge, if anybody ever...
Yo, I love Chick-fil-A Southridge, man, but I'm not... And I was just thinking about the whole time on stuff like, is this chicken sandwich really worth this? Nah, no way. But...
No. Oh, my bad.
That's my Chick-fil-A story that was indirectly caused by you.
My bad.
And secondly, segueing out of that, there's a podcast that I would highly recommend to you because it's right up your alley, but this Glenn Villanueva, a guy from Life Below Zero, was on Joe Rogan about a week ago, and I just finished it this morning, and I'm telling you right now, I was fascinated by this guy because like all his stories and like what he does, like he basically uprooted his life in Vermont and just was like, I'm going to go live. He's like, I'm going to go live in Alaska. And he went to like the furthest part up north of Fairbanks and like just built this like 100 square foot shack and just lived up there for like months at a time and learned how to fly planes. And he said in the podcast, because Joe was like, how do you have internet? And he was like, oh, I took a class. I'm a certified satellite internet guy for like, I could work for a provider if I wanted to. It reminded me of a story of like a guy who's like, I'm getting away from all this, and I'm going to learn everything I can. And he dropped out of grade school. He didn't even make it past the fourth grade.
Nice.
And the stories he had, man, like the stuff he ate and how he gets down. And like,
so where's he at now?
He still lives in Fairbanks, but he has four kids, and he's basically buying up the surrounding land around him and just putting different shacks on them.
Ah, okay.
He had a failed his first wife decided he never really got into the details why she left him, but
well, I'm fucking leaving too,
dude. Well, she left her life. What was she? Her profession was I'm blanking on it. His new wife, it was like a lawyer in Boston.
Huh.
And found him on Facebook. Hit him in his DMs. Is like, hey, you want to go on a date? And like, she flew out there for like 4 days, and like has been with him ever since. Oh, I guess.
Oh, damn! What a world we live in, 2020.
Glenn Villanueva podcast on Joe Rogan Experience. I highly recommend it for anybody that's curious about that substance. There's a word for it. We're basically just live off the land, and you're isolated. Like that is that's very, very interesting to me. There was one last thing that he mentioned. So like he had a bout with like starvation where he was eating like small game like grouse, and like he referred to some animal that I didn't know, and he said he was eating a lot of that.
A mink.
It started with an M, but I don't think it was a mink. It was something else. It was some ground nesting animal.
All right. And he
basically was doing all this hunting, trying to basically nab a caribou or a moose, and and then called on a satellite phone to one of his buddies and was like, hey, I'm in a bad way. Like, I'm going to need you to bring me in some food. So the guy, he's like, and if you don't come, I need you to tell somebody else to come, because I'm going to die otherwise.
Right.
And for how whatever happened, whatever series of events happened, that guy gets him food. Well, he starts eating like mass quantities of food because he's starving. Yeah, he gets what did you refer to it as? There's something that happens when you're famished like that. If you eat a crap ton of food, it causes like pulmonary edema or something like that.
Your body can't handle it.
And your body can't handle it, starts shutting down. And he went to a doctor, and the doctor was like, were you starving? He was like, yeah, did you start eating a bunch of food? He's like, yeah. He's like, that's what happened to Holocaust survivors. When the war ended, they brought in a crap ton of food to Holocaust, and they all started eating, and no one knew why they were dying.
You can't say that. Be careful what you say about the Holocaust. You see all them prison guards in the news.
Mm-mm.
Oh, West Virginia, they did like academy class for prison guards, and the fucking class picture at the end, they all did the Hitler salute to their instructor, and that was their class photo. Well, it made national news.
Oh,
and they all got fired, and the instructors got fired, and I was like, "Why the fuck would you do that?
Who posted that? Why would that be your class picture? Who would do that?"
Even the woman that was over it all was like, "Yeah, I seen it. And I don't know why I didn't do anything about it." And she thought she was just going to resign, and they like canned her. I was like, "That's a bad look. Like, don't do it.
Don't do that, man.
Stupid
shit. PR 101.
Yeah.
How's your goals going,
man? I'm actually doing good. Soda's good. Soda's actually phenomenal. I may have taken. I've actually got a track. I track it every day on my notes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting at least 9,000 to 10,000 plus steps every day after work. Before I go get the kids, I hit the track to do at least a mile, 2 miles. My soda, the biggest can I've drank is a 6 ounce. Coke Zero.
Yep, those are good, man.
I haven't even been drinking that. If I have a Coke craving, I'll take 2 or 3 sips, and I'm talking about ounces. I'm not talking. I mean, I'm below 5 ounces. I think I took in like the last 3 days. I probably have had 1 ounce of pop.
Nice.
Food I need to work on, but I've cut back after eating after 6. And if I do eat after 6, I've been eating like carrots and hummus just to get me through the morning.
Just snack.
Yeah. So actually, I cut back on a lot of like I don't eat the chocolate at work. Today I didn't pack a lunch. I forgot. So I had a large chili and a water from, Wendy's.
Nice.
So actually it's been doing really good.
Keep that shit up. Yep.
What about you?
So working out's good. I haven't ran as much as I wanted to. I did 2 runs earlier in the week, just like 10-minute jogs around the neighborhood. Nothing. I ain't on that Doug Craigo
8-mile
jog yet. But doing all right, working out, feeling good, eating good, and then opened up the book Jonathan Haidt wrote called The Coddling of the American Mind. And it is it sort of pertains to the topics that we're going to talk about today, philosophy-wise. Like, there's a lot of good information in there. I don't want to go into the finer details of it because I'd rather save that for a future podcast where we just discuss some of those ideas. But very, very, like how we discussed about the our, like, the gift giving with our kids. Yep. And, like, you know, where we're going, like previous podcasts, we talked about social media and stuff like that. This book is basically all into, like, the psychology and, like, what's happening to the youth, basically Gen Z, what's happening to them with, like, how there's the depression and anxiety is going through the roof, and how they feel like, you know, it just seems like everything's in, like, this one microcosm of, like, trying to make them feel bad about stuff.
Right.
Because of how society is, like, looked upon in social media light. So, like, it's a really interesting book. I'm on, like, chapter 3 or 4 right now. I hope to finish it up by the end of next week.
I haven't been in any books. My biggest kick right now is this Robin Hood app and the stock market. That's all I do is read about stocks, what's hot, what's not. I'm texting coworkers. I'm texting a buddy of ours, and it's just like I'm always infatuated with money.
Yep.
But right now I'm really into this stock market shit, and I'm like, you know, you need to calm down on it. like today I got paid, and I was like, man, I need to go get $100 and put in there. And I was like, nah, you got bills to pay, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, easy.
But man, the stock market, man, it's addictive. The price changes every second.
I could see where you could literally be stuck on that thing for hours, where you're just watching it go.
Yeah, because you're waiting for that right move. And then the one thing is, it's like, oh, yeah, I got to sell because I'll make a bunch of money. And it's like, oh, shit, do I let it go because it's going to go down? It's addicted. Yeah. I'm addicted to it. It's probably like anything else. It might come and go. I don't know. I ain't made it that far yet, but
it probably tickles that gambling part of your brain where you're basically basically an uptick of gambling.
A coworker told me it was no different than going down to the slot machine and putting in $50 and seeing if you get hit. And I think it's completely different, but because I think you got a better chance in the stock market than you do at a slot machine.
Long term, yeah. Yes. Long term, I see that.
But that's our philosophy. I don't know. Who am I? I don't know. It's interesting. Back to, like, what we said in previous podcast, I encourage people to do something, an extra retirement. I think actually Kurt said he was going to start looking into one. Says he is. I hope he is. Get something going.
Right. So. Right on. Get on that shit, Kurt. Well, here's why we're here. Obviously, we do this every week, but we have a theme tailored to this podcast, basically all based around philosophy. And there was a series of questions that I sent you that told you to mull them over and see which ones you liked, and we'll discuss them. You sent back, and I looked up the ones I liked and got them jotted down here on some notes, and we'll get right into it. But I want to start first with a disclaimer of the fact of, like, you and I, this is just our opinion. We're not stating facts here. So if anybody feels triggered by any of this, relax. We're just two guys bullshitting about it. And this
is, like we said in the first podcast, yeah, you can state your claim.
Yeah, if you disagree, by all means disagree. That's how discourse happens. And, you know, I would love to hear.
Maybe in February we might have some mics or something.
Yeah, we're working diligently on that. Hopefully that comes up. And but yeah, so right into it. The first one you sent me that you were interested in was the first question being, how will you be remembered when you die? And I love the death topic for some odd sick fucking reason, but it's always fascinated me. I don't know why I think about my demise. Maybe it's just because of past experiences or what, but I enjoy this one right here.
I think to your, and we talk about this all the time, to your, and especially when somebody we know dies of a tragic death, a sudden death, where, when you die, nobody is going to tell the truth of why you died. You could be a drug addict that's overdosed 15 times, and they're going to, and everybody's going to defend you tooth and nail. And I'm not saying it's that you shouldn't defend somebody that has a drug problem, not a disease, a problem. You can you can defend them that, or you know, you could be a turd that you know never worked, stole from your mom, your parents, whatever. You die. Nobody's going to say that. They're going to say, oh, he tried, you know, all that. And it's like, when I die, I hope that my kids realize how hard I've worked for them. Everything I give them everything they need. They have a great life. I hope my wife realizes that, you know, I've tried hard to, you know, do everything for the family. Her, I think my buddies, you know, the small group that I can say that are honestly my true friends, I think they know who I am. And you know what? At my funeral, I've told you this too many a times at my funeral wake, where if you got up there and said he was an opinionated asshole, I'd say, yeah. I mean, I'm dead. But I don't want...
If you were standing above...
I'd give you a thumbs up and be like, yeah, that's him. Or he's obsessed with money and was, you know, had a weird fascination with it. Like, I think it's okay when you die that people... it bugs me, and it's not going to come out. It's not going to change anybody's view. It bugs me when people portray you to be something and in reality you weren't. And everybody knows it, but you're just trying to save face for whatever reason. And nobody wants to remember somebody dead in a bad way.
That's the caveat that I think that is interesting. That's a subtopic to this topic is that should we be remembered for the small section of life that is at the end of our lives? So like, you know, you and I both have personal experience in this, where we had grandparents who had Alzheimer's, and in the last section of their life, that's all you remember them by, because that was who they were in that section.
And it was shit.
And it was awful. And everybody around them was fucking miserable. And like, you know, you hated to see the deterioration that happened with them. So like, you can pull back other memories. Now, I don't know how many you can. There's very few for my grandfather, but like, I just remember his Alzheimer's.
Yep.
And it was tough for me at the funeral, because like that's all. Like I just remember like how bad it was.
Yep.
So I guess in the subtopic to this is like, do we as humans, can we do the right by the person who's passed away, and I guess most people are trying to do this by basically not talking about the bad aspects of their lives.
Because, and I think it helps them. I think too why they talk about so how maybe it helps them cope.
Of course,
I guess, you know, I've seen family members and not only family members but other people, and especially in my real profession.
Yeah, that's where you really get kicked into this topic.
Yeah,
a lot,
I see people, you know, drugs are the worst, stealing, breaking in people's stuff, you know, all this and just repetitive drug use, and people die, and it's like, you know, their parents are like,
all is forgiven.
Yeah, they're like, oh, he was really doing good, and it was like, well, he, you know, he just overdosed 10 times, or he just robbed 4 people, and he hadn't worked in 10 years, and all you did was pay, you know, his way or whatever. And they're like, yeah, but he was trying. And I'm like, was he? And here's the thing. Deep down, you know he wasn't or she wasn't.
It's denial.
Yeah,
it's denial.
And I'm not the one that's going to bust your balls and say and try to beat it in, because you know. I know you know, and you know that I know.
Right.
So my thing is, you don't, what do I always say? It's like, you don't have to be ashamed of your kid. You don't have to go bragging.
Yeah.
That your kid's a drug addict or a thief or an alcoholic or gambling issues or whatever. You don't have to go bragging about it. But when time comes, don't act like it didn't exist and you just don't acknowledge
it.
You don't have to go out and write an article about it or go up to everybody and say, it's like, how's little Johnny? Oh, he's just an alcoholic. You don't say that.
Yeah.
But don't go out there and say, oh, he's doing great and, you know, raising his kids, even though he hadn't seen his kids in 10 months. You don't have to do that.
It's, I guess the onus falls on the presenter.
Yep.
So, like, the people that you talk to about this person that's passed away, or whoever talks about you or I when we pass away, you hope that they remain They remain true to what actually was how they. You hope they project your life in a way that you'll be proud of.
Yep.
You know, you don't want anybody. You don't want anybody sugarcoated. I fall in the same boat. I don't want anybody sugarcoated about me. Like, I want everybody to speak open and honestly about it. And how I want to be remembered when I die is probably a lot in the sense that I, same as you, where I just want to be. I want to be appreciated by my immediate family, my wife. And my kids, to let them. I tried, you know, I tried everything to provide. I tried to be a good husband. I tried to be a good dad, and I hope I pass down some morals and some values that they can use when they get older, and you know, they live on.
And I think that's all that matters is your family, because other than that, you know, you might have some good coworkers and your good buddies, Mike, but it's like. The crazy thing about death is, man, that fucking world.
Who shows up is the real question.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to see that.
Exactly, because, like, I'm not.
I never thought about this until now. What does it mean if you would die tomorrow? And I don't want to name drop anybody.
No, let's keep names out.
But it's just like people show up that I know. You haven't seen or talked to in...
It's very odd.
10 years.
It's very odd.
So what
It'd be very odd. I don't understand.
They show up to show respect.
Right.
But is that because they showed up to show respect because you touched them in some way that you don't know?
Yeah.
Or are they showing up because they want it to be a high school get-together or they're looking to steal the show? Yeah. Maybe just to be nosy, you know.
Slide in on your wife.
Slide in on your wife. Take your kids. Hell, I don't know. Live in your house.
Well, how about the ones that don't show up?
That would shock you.
You'd be like, really? And no name dropping. From a personal experience, man, and seeing this very aspect, it was very the ones that you would think that would have these big elaborate funerals where you felt like they were really well liked
are the ones that have four people.
The ones that like had people show up that you're like, where's this person, mm-hmm. where's this person? You're like, I don't even understand, because like at that when I knew that person in that life in that environment. They were the man, or they were the girl. Like they were the end all be all. They had so many friends,
and then
when your demise happens, it's like you can't. I love this excuse, like, oh, I couldn't get off work, or I had something going on.
If you
want
to get
there
bad enough, you would.
You will make arrangements to be there for that. So, like, you know, I guess all in all, like, I guess I want my respect. From my family, and then also I want the people that actually loved me the most and I felt the love in return for them to be there, and anybody else who trickles in, I appreciate, you know, the respect and all, but like, it's cool, man. Like, I want, you know, everybody says this and everybody thinks this, I think. No one wants the funeral to be like this, like, sob fest.
Yeah,
I don't want my demise to be like this big thing ordeal where everybody just shows up and they're just crying the whole time. Like, make a joke, do something. Like, I want it to be, you know, real nonchalant. Like, get it over and done with. Put me in the ground. Put me in my urn, whatever I decide, and let's be done with this thing. And then go celebrate the life that I had. You know what I mean? Like, don't really sulk about it.
I know two people that, I know more people, but two people that I really know, I've watched them die, and they didn't have any type of viewing or anything, or let's just say a big wake or whatever,
right?
Due to the fact that they didn't want it to be a drug party. Like, the people that were coming to that, beside, like, the family would have been there. But the people that were going to straggle in that may or may not have came,
right?
The family didn't want to see.
Right.
So it was like, we can't do this publicly because the family doesn't want to see what's going to drag through that door. Right. So instead of having that shit, let's just have something for the family at the house and get the ceremony, the cremation, whatever.
And then get done with.
And whatever. And
that's an interesting way to do
it. And back to my... my thing, well, exactly what you just said is my profession. I've seen people die, and all the people that say they like them or whatever, it's like they don't. They don't show up to anything. They're just like, oh, that's who I bought my dope from. It's like, all right, well, look, there's got to be better out there. But I seen you looking at the sheet.
Yep.
Let's skip down. Since yep. we're talking about death, let's skip down to the murder one.
Ooh.
Because the other right. ties right into
okay.
it.
Okay. So. We got another one that ties in with it too, but we'll start with the murder one. So the question is, why as humans are we fascinated with mass murderers in their when their actions are evil and vile?
Yeah. And I don't know why, but I watch 48 Hours a lot.
Okay.
And I'm like, and I don't, I'm like, man, that, you know, it's shootings, murders, and all this. And I don't know if I'm addicted to the police work and how they track people down or trying to get people to snitch on snitching
yep.
and,
yep.
or how they crack the code or the crime scene, I should say. But it's based around death. It's always about death on 48 Hours. And
yes.
it's like,
and my thing is, and I, you know, my wife is fascinated with it as well. She watches the ID channel. She listens to every murder podcast that is on iTunes right now.
Does she listen to Blase Blase?
Oh, I meant to mention that. Yes, she does.
We can save it for later.
No. I just want to make a quick announcement about that. We changed the name.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, we changed the name. It is no longer Verbal Diarrhea. It is Blase Blase. But back to your question, she does listen, and she is very interested in coming on, so maybe we can do a Wives and Husbands podcast. that'll be highly rated.
Yeah.
But she is she's fascinated by this stuff. And her personality, like if you were to meet my wife and just be in a room with her for 15 minutes.
Are we talking about Dunbar lore or Vegas lore?
We're talking about Dunbar lore. Not okay. Vegas lore. Vegas lore is for the Sin City podcast.
We'd like to see that again. I wouldn't mind
so
seeing that again.
She is very reserved, quiet. If she doesn't know you, she's not very outgoing.
Resting bitch face.
Yeah, she's not open to like, you know, she's not going to control a room by any means. But what is going on in her head is probably fascinating because of the content that she takes in on a daily basis. So I'm particularly very, very, I was intrigued when you sent me this one because I was going to mark this one as well. I believe that we are fascinated with mass murderers because it's biologically back, you know, like this goes back to the freaking mongrels, any society that basically ransacked other societies, raped, murdered, and pillaged other surrounding tribes, you know, the Indians, the freaking pilgrims, the Europeans, all that stuff, all that's intertwined with basically mass murderer. And to me, I think there's something biologically in our brain chemistry where we're like, we resonate with that.
Right.
Not saying we're going to act upon it, but I think there's something that triggers in our brains. We're like, and this is very evident if you turn on the TV and watch any movie. The anti-hero is alive and well. Like, we love the sick individual that is ready to get back at society because society spit them up and threw them away. So, like, the movie The Joker. Like, any of the Batman where he's a vigilante.
Right.
Like, we love the bad guy who's here to Thanos from Endgame, like Avengers. We love the bad guy who's ready to destroy everything and start over again.
Yeah.
And I think that if you do your due diligence on mass murderers, that's all they're set out to basically change society's view on what we're all supposed to be looking at and paying attention to. So it becomes this like, it's almost like it's sensationalized. Like it's like this thing of like, ooh, like I can, there's something in your brain that ticks. You're like, I can see why that guy's doing that.
I've watched YouTube videos where they've interviewed serial killers.
Oh, and man, stuff. They're fascinating.
Yeah, and those guys, I mean, sometimes they get, I can't remember the one. He had like the highest death count. I think it was Iceman or Jack Iceman or something like that.
You're the guy for the mob?
Yeah, and he's just out whacking people, man. And
they did a lot of stuff on
him. You know, a lot of it was money related, but then it was like, all right, when after he got to doing it, he was like, it was for the money, for his family, but then he was like, now he was just, it was a habit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, hell yeah, give me $5,000, but I'll go whack his ass anyways.
They get some sick enjoyment
and
out of it.
I guess it's like anything. I was watching another one actually the other day before this even topic was brought up. It was this old black guy was interviewing this killer through the glass at a prison, and they only linked him to actually one murder, but they think he was tied to like, I think over like 25, and his thing was is he would just once he went up to these girls and stuff, he just slit their throat. I forget it was, but it wasn't like he would shoot them or anything. He just slit their throat and leave them lay, or he'd bury some of them. But how he got caught is he slit a girl's throat, but he didn't kill her. He just barely like grazed her, and then she ended up calling and telling the calling for help, and they came, and her. Whoever, I think it was a friend, was sleeping in the floor. He did slit her throat and kill her, and she watched it all, and she like tried to cover up her throat, and he was like, she was on there, and he was just like, move your arm, and she did, and he went in to cut her throat and leave her there, but he didn't get it all the way, and she survived, and that's how he got caught. But the guy was asking questions, and he was like answering, but he was like, hey man, now you're getting a little too personal, like you're asking a little too much. And it was just like this. When I was like, watch, I was like, man, this guy's a sick ass individual.
Do you think he was created? Do you think he saw that exact scenario in which he played his adult life out in? Do you think he was a kid and seen something happen in front of him and it set some chain of events off?
I think that it has a lot to do with it, is how you're raised, because I will say this, and I'm experienced in this as not as a sex offender, but sex offenders. In today's world, if you look at their history and you get to talking to them and knowing them, and the more you study them,
there's always some form of sexual abuse that happened to them.
Yeah, like 90% of them, I'd say maybe 95% of them, were molested at a young age, or watched a sibling or somebody get molested.
They continue the act as they
get so that grows in their brain, even though they know it's not right or they didn't like it.
Oh yeah, there's always bad and
yeah, they go do it. And I've said in enough classes for work about this and watched people talk about why they got into child pornography, and they're like, we got bored with adult pornography. It's like, I can't imagine you watching an individual watching that much porn, because it's like, don't you work or got some shit to do?
Yeah,
and then it goes to the point, it's like, well, adults got boring, so we went and looked for kids. I just don't understand how you... I don't know. I guess I'm not one of those people. It's like, I don't understand how you are.
We had good childhoods, man.
Yeah. It's like, how are you turned on by kids? Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
Well, how are you turned on by murder? Like, that's the thing. Like, it's a shining example, like you speaking about the Iceman, where he basically wasn't even doing it for the money anymore. He was basically doing it because he could.
Yeah,
and it's like you're playing God at this point. Like,
you get busted. They came to his house, and he went down that street, and they were waiting on him, weren't they, at his house?
Was this
it was back in the day.
I don't know the details of him, but if you're given the opportunity to take life and play God, I mean, how many people are going to give that up until you get caught? You know what I mean? Like, if you're a real criminal mastermind, like, you know, like, there's a narcissistic component to this. Like, you're literally going, you plan these murders out, you end up succeeding, and you get away with it scot-free. There's got to be some sort of rush and excitement to that.
So I did a quick YouTube of him, and it's the Iceman, Richard Kolesky.
Yeah, they did a documentary.
Yeah, so there I watched all the YouTube. It was
they
actually,
do interview. Yeah, they show us interviews and stuff.
2 hours and 19 minutes, and I watched the whole thing. And,
God.
He's
interesting.
Well, and that's what he would do is he would freeze their bodies. That's why they called him the Iceman. And then he'd freeze them, and then
he'd dump them, right?
Yeah, after so long after he freezed them, and they couldn't figure out what was in because they had froze so long. God. And I think all he was doing, he was poisoning them.
Slow.
Yeah, and then he would get their body and freeze them after he poisoned them. And then he was getting so much money. And I think he quit. Then I remember the last part.
Wasn't he Russian or KBG or KGB or something like that?
I don't know. Damn, you're going to make me watch it again. I remember he went home and he told himself, and in that thing, he said, had gut feeling they were after me and I shouldn't have went home. And that was the one time he didn't listen to his gut. And then when he went down that street, they was waiting on his ass and then they had him. So.
Yeah, to wrap that one up, I think it sets off this animalistic part in our brain, and I really believe, I'm not saying everyone's evil. I'm not saying that by any means. I don't want to I'm not presenting that. What I'm saying is that I believe if you could read people's thoughts, I think there's a lot of people that have more compassion for some of these people than you truly realize they can see there's a part of them. If their life would have went a certain direction,
they'd have been right there
doing the same thing that person's doing.
Yep.
So with that being said, it comes back to the next one for me. It's how replaceable are we as humans? Like honestly, this is where my past experiences, my ego. I've tried to kill my ego. I've tried to keep it at bay. I've tried to. That, I think that's a lot of male downfalls. Is their ego gets a little too large, and they think they're the reason behind why everything's going on. I believe if something were to happen, if this would be the last podcast, and I fall over right there in that into the freaking car there, I think life goes on.
Oh yeah.
I don't feel as though like if my job were to say tomorrow, like, hey, you're done here. The Eldar keeps going on. Everything keeps going.
Don't find somebody to replace you, probably cheaper, and yeah.
My wife would probably grieve for like I would want her to move on.
Right.
Like I don't want her to feel, you know, like she's gotta mourn me for the entire
existence.
I think
everybody is replaceable. It don't matter what it is, because like we talked about in the two subjects before, the world doesn't stop for you.
No, not at all.
You might have some people that can't get over you. This one thing I do believe is parents shouldn't have to bury their kids.
No.
I'm a firm believer in that.
Your
parents will probably suffer. All that grief. I think a lot of spouses move on, which and is very so rightful. I'd agree with that. Move on. I'm not saying, you know.
Do you think the outsiders that look at that situation, like let's say someone we know, and this is just hypothetical, someone we know as young as us, they have a partner pass away. Do you think the perception is like, man, how'd you move on so fast? Like,
yeah,
you know, was it really that bad? You know what I mean?
I think I would.
I'd be a little alarmed if someone moved on.
What's
like
the right
months.
Time frame?
That's where I'm getting at. Is like, is that me? What? Why am I doing that? Because I wouldn't want anybody to do that to me. For me, like, I wouldn't want my wife to like. I'd want my wife to move on in a respectable time frame, but that's where this I don't know what that time
so
frame
what
is.
If, so what if you die today?
Yeah.
Lures grieving.
Mm-hmm.
Meet somebody like that.
Meets Will not, Ferrell at the Wedding Crashers at the funeral.
Yeah. So my thing is like, all right, so say she meets a pharmaceutical rep at work who... He's like, hey
I'm going to take care of you.
Sorry, no, I'm sorry to hear about your husband. They start talking, and I'm not saying he's even trying to move in.
Grief's a powerful aphrodisiac.
Yeah. And then she grieves to him, and he's actually genuine, like, hey, it's going to be all right. You're going to be all right. And then it's some fairy tale love story where he's raising your kids, and they're truly happy, or they're miserable, but she's still – it's like –
That's a tough one, man. Yeah. That is the essence of this conversation.
I say shit about people's relationships because I see it on Facebook, and I'm like, me and Kurt, we had this conversation the other day that just because you're happy on Facebook
doesn't mean you're happy.
And
in real
say
life.
That to, you know, a lot of people, just because you're happy and out at dinner doesn't mean you're happy at home. But I stopped trying to judge people's relationships because it's like, who really knows? Who really knows who's happy and who knows if people are really miserable and they're sticking together for their kids or they're insecure?
Yeah, who knows, man?
Don't think they could find somebody else?
I was watching this movie. I was watching this movie in bed this morning, and it was basically, the premise of the movie was this woman had a gay friend who was friends with the husband and her. And every time she went to this class, she fucked the instructor. And like, she would, like, you could tell she was dealing with shit internally, and the husband was totally oblivious to how, like, she was feeling. You know what I mean? Like, right. He was just, hey, honey, how was your day? Like, the whole fucking nine yards. And the gay friend knows how she's getting down on the side.
Right.
And she knows, obviously. She's dealing with all this guilt. And the husband's just sitting there like, oh, well. Sunny outside, and hey, everything's great. And then she's just waiting to drop this bombshell. And like, hey, I've been cheating on you for
Did
how
she
many?
Drop it.
I didn't finish the. Ah. But you could tell the way it was going. You know what I mean? Like she was literally just tripping over herself, and you could tell she was unhappy because he was the boring guy, and she was getting with the hot instructor who turned on this wild side of her, you know what I mean? Like
got her. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And that's the essence of this conversation is like, we're all replaceable. Yeah. At the end of the day, I don't care how important you are in society, in your community, to your friends, to your family. Like, I want to say everyone has the idea in mind. The life keeps going on.
I look at it in like sports. Somebody gets hurt. It's like next man
next
up.
Man
next man
up.
Next woman
up. Yeah,
unless you're like some CEO of a company, which somebody's probably waiting to get in your seat anyways. Shit, you get.
That's a revolving door nowadays.
Yeah. And at work, man, you
got. Look at Papa John.
Yeah. He's going. Did you see where he's going to eat 30 pizzas? He's going to let him have it.
Oh, Papa. They cut Papa so fast, and Shaq swooped in.
Of his own
and I'm business. I'm seeing Papa John's commercials left and right.
You still eat that shit.
Hell yeah. Right,
get off
it. I love Papa John's. I love it, man. All right. And, all right, let's get into a lighter one. We've been on the dark path here. The lighter one is of the ones that we have here. If you could teach the world one concept, meaning if you could give them like one life saying to like live by, what would it be to have the greatest impact on people around you? And I wrote down a few for myself.
Let's hear him and jog my mind.
Yeah,
I don't
really
have anything on top of my head.
All right, well, for me, if I were to teach a seminar to the world, they were to broadcast me out. Well, let's just say the United States because the world's a little tough, the language barrier. I would say to treat everyone as they are you living another life. And that basically is the golden rule, the platinum rule, where you basically treat others as you want to be treated. And I say that because I really, you know, we talked about this a little bit on the in the first couple. We don't know what's going on with people most of the time. You don't know what their childhood was like. You don't know, you know, what their circumstances were. You don't know if they're having a bad day. Like old dude that bumped me in the Chick-fil-A line. Like, hey, man, we were both in the struggle. You know what I mean? And, like, honestly, it took all I had not to go up there and beat on that dude's window and be like, hey, man, what the hell is your problem? You know, like... And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to cuss. I wanted to kick his car.
What would they have done? You've been 2 hours in that
exactly, line. Exactly, but I could have been him in that car and backed up trying to do the right thing for the tractor trailer.
Right.
Hit somebody else's car and then just been like stuck like right. He was, you know? So like for me, and granted, I fail at this all the time because sometimes I don't take other people's, what they got going on into account. Because we, you know, we're both in the workforce. You work with coworkers, man, and sometimes they tell you the skinny on everything.
Yeah.
Other times they don't. You don't have any idea what's going on in their head. If they like the job, they don't like the job. They hate their lives at home suck. They got something going on with their kids. So I think if anything I would pass on to everybody is, like, honestly, take a deep breath sometimes before you get into a conversation with somebody where you're ready to, like, cuss them out and just be like, hey, you know what? I understand. Like, it's cool, man. Like, I'm not saying let people walk over you.
Right.
I'm just saying basically, like, be mindful in the fact that, like, you if you were in their shoes and you screwed up and you didn't know what to say and you were having a bad day, just be mindful. Just don't do something that you're going to regret. You know, don't haul off and whack some dude because you got mad because they hit your car. Right. Like, it's just a car, you know, and their car got hurt too. So, like, relax.
Just thought of this, and I think everybody needs to be more truthful.
Mm.
And when I go say truthful, if you ask me a question and I tell you the truth, I want the truth from you. And also, on the receiving end of that is if I tell you how I truly feel, and I can bring up a conversation about my wife and I a while back, but that doesn't matter. But she asked me my opinion on something at the house.
Right.
And I gave her the most truthful answer that I honestly thought, and she didn't like it, so she shut down when she asked me. So she didn't like my opinion.
Right.
So if you ask somebody a question and they don't tell you what you want to hear, you should still listen. Take it with a grain of salt. Don't be a douche. Accept it for what it is. Think about it and try to figure out, why would they say that? Are they saying it just to be spiteful, or are they saying it because I probably really need to hear some of it? Maybe not being so harsh, or, you know, they didn't have to be so blunt about it. But I just want people to tell the truth. Just be truthful. And, you know, the truth, you know, they say truth hurts.
It can. It can if you're not expecting it. And that was my second one. I actually wrote down that one this morning. The other one I had wrote down when we first discussed these topics through text. But the last one I wrote down is, don't lie. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of things that you can be in this life. If you're a habitual liar, man, and you start believing your own freaking lies, then you literally, society, you can't do anything well in society if you're just a habitual liar. If you roll out of bed in the morning and you're telling somebody that you got a $65,000 car for freaking $25,000, and everyone knows you're full of shit in the workplace.
Yeah.
Dude, if you have that stigma, you're never going to... You could come in and say, I got breaking news. Sasquatch was found, and I have a photo of it right here. I can prove it.
Nobody's going to fucking believe
it. Everyone's going to turn away and walk away.
Yep.
Because you've already set the precedent that you can't be trusted. And once... And I would say this to our kids, man. And you know, kids... I think there's you were, and when we were kids, the coolest thing to do was back when we, like, when you were a storyteller and you could tell your buddies, like, this elaborate story of, like, how
put a little sauce on it,
and put a little sauce at the end and be like, yeah, this is, you know, you just put a little extra there.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be like, ooh, you know what I mean? And you get that elation from your friends, and they're like, man, you're cool.
Yeah.
Like, you just did the coolest shit ever. And you're like, yeah, I did all that, but I put that extra on.
Yeah,
that.
I really didn't do that last part.
I can't tell you that last part because I really didn't do that.
Yeah.
But you can't go back.
Right.
And once you take that small step as a child and you never get checked, and you go into your adolescence and you go into
you're
your teenage years,
checked.
And you're not getting checked, and you're not getting checked, and you just keep telling more and more lies and more and more lies, and you show up in as an adult. And you're like, you're just a liar.
I think now, though, in the adult world, because I know exactly what you're talking about, I've been around people who haven't got checked in the past, and they believe their self. They still today believe lies. And then it's like, all right, guy, you didn't fucking do this.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not going to get me anywhere to call you out and say, look, dude, you didn't do that. Like, the story you just said, like...
Well, that it goes. The perfect example for you would be like a hunting story.
Yeah.
Where a guy runs across this fucking majestic buck and puts it down, and ideally, it's really a 4-point, but he tells you it's like an 8-point.
Yeah.
You're like, come on, dude. Like, it wasn't a 350-pound 4-point, dude. Yeah. Like, relax. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just say you shot a deer
and let's move on.
Yeah. That makes me think too. It's like, you know, telling hunting stories, because I've got, you know, some good ones, but not necessarily like good things, but I've had weird things happen to me in the woods, and but people's like, man, you know, just seeing things. It's like, instead of like trying to make up this lie, I'm like, nice as shit,
right?
Like, and I didn't, or if I did see something, it wasn't worth me telling you about, so I'm not gonna waste our time, because I know deep down you don't care. And when I read people, so when I look at people and I'm talking and I see you're in your phone or you're drifting left, drifting right, if you ain't looking at me and acknowledging what I'm saying, you really don't give a fuck what I'm saying. So why even try to put?
I find that is the toughest thing in conversations is when you're having a conversation with somebody and you're trying to tell them this, because they asked you a question about your experience. You're giving them your experience, and they're like totally off in la la land.
So why'd you ask?
And I'm like, why are we even having this? We're wasting breath here. I could just sit here in silence and be fine, man. Like, you know, we don't got to do this. But yeah, please, if you take anything away from this podcast, to me, on the brighter side of things, you know, treat everyone how you want to be treated. And also, just don't lie. Like, don't, even if you want to lie. Even, like, there were so many aspects of where, like, that Chick-fil-A story where I wanted to come back and, like, tell people the story. And I didn't want to tell the ending because I was so embarrassed, because I've sat in line for 2 hours waiting for a chicken sandwich and didn't get the free meal in January.
The whole purpose.
I wanted to tell everybody, like, yeah, I wanted to give the lighter side. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting a free meal, though. But I didn't.
Yeah.
Because that's the truth.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, if anything, if we're going into the next decade, I'm hoping, and I have a very positive outlook on this. I think it's going to be tougher. It's tougher now to bullshit anybody than ever. Because what you just did on your phone, where you hopped on there and you looked up the thing about the Iceman.
Yeah.
If we know a story's being told,
fact check,
and we can get on Google and search it real fast, but like, nah, like, for instance, when you have somebody in your circle at work or friends and they're talking about sports stuff, this is always a funny one to me. And I've been caught on this one. Well, I think I'm 100% right when I'm talking about it. But I don't really know. But it's like the hot take just keeps coming and coming and coming. I'm like, yeah, the Alabama won the national championship and beat Clemson 48-34 and Tua threw the game-winning touchdown in 2 years ago. And somebody looks at me like, no, that didn't happen. Nope. Not 2 years ago. It happened 3 years ago. I'm like, oh. Well, I could have swore it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But when you get on those, like, when you get on these, like, you're in a group setting and you're trying to impress people with this information because you're trying to show them how smart you are and how much you remember. I think a lot of people get carried away, and they just get carried away with their words, and they're like, "Oh man, I'm getting deeper. Oh man, I'm getting deeper. I'm going. Everything I'm saying is great, 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 great. Boom!" And then someone bursts your bubble, like. And you just kind of go duck down.
Yeah, my thing is, though, in those situations, if I'm not really interested in or whatever, it depends on who you are. At that point, I probably just let you go. Like,
there's many times.
Like, you know what, buddy? If you're that adamant, even though I know that didn't happen or I know that game was like, you win today, I can ease in my mind.
There's been many a times where I've let people go. And I'm just like, you know, and that's where I would say if I'm trying to make a better community and society, those people that lie habitually, they just get cast out. Because literally when they come into the group with a story, you can see the mood go from like everybody's talking, everybody's liking everything, and then all of a sudden you just watch everybody scatter like cockroaches.
And my thing is, I found out too is, that the guy or gal that is lying the most, it's like, dude, if you just be yourself, you'd be a cool person.
Exactly.
You're trying
way too hard.
You're not
man.
A bad person. If you would just be you and talk about the conversations that are going on, or you're obviously there for a reason, or whatever, maybe. Just do your part and just kind of mingle in there, fit in there, and whatever.
This could all be avoided.
Yeah, but your line is like, all right, Chris, you're the fucking liar, and we're going to leave you in this group for whatever reason. If we work with you, we're at a birthday party or whatever, we're going to listen to it for this time, but it's like, all right, dude, you didn't climb Mount Everest 4 times in 1 month.
It happens so often in the workplace, though. The workplace is the worst for it. And I don't know if it's people's insecurities or people like aren't comfortable in their own skin or what, but like when you're growing up and you're young, you normally like your friend, you'll cast people out like that in the friend group. But when you get into the workplace, you got no choice but to sit there and listen to Bob ramble on about something that you could care less about. And then once you figure out that they're lying about, you're just like, Bob, I really don't even really like you as a person anyways, so you're just giving me more of a reason. Yeah, so Bob, I'm giving out advice today, and it's free advice. And again, you don't have to take it. And again, this conversation started with the disclaimer of, I really don't know what the fuck I'm talking about anyways. So if you don't care, that's fine. But try your damnedest.
Just be yourself.
Stop lying. Stop lying. Give it up, man. Yeah.
And if you can't be yourself around a group of people that you feel like you have to lie to, then maybe you shouldn't be around fucking people.
Leave them alone.
Yeah, go find somebody else.
And it takes us right into the next one. And why, as humans, are we so confident to believe stuff that can't be proven? Like, I referenced this a second ago. Why do people believe in Bigfoot?
Yeah, that's what I was going. There's a big one that I want to bring up, and I ain't getting.
No, let's not go. I know exactly what you're going to hit on, and I would have an argument for that, but I don't feel like let's not even tackle that road. Why do people believe in Bigfoot? It has been faked. There's multiple fakes over the courses of time, and there's still people out in the woods doing these shows on Discovery Channel or Sci-Fi, and they're in the woods, and it's a bunch of white guys, and it's dark, and they got their night vision cameras, and it's quiet, and they're like, "There's this, you hear that Sasquatch?"
Yeah.
And you can clearly tell it's an animal, like it's a wolf, it's a mountain lion, a coyote, it's something in the woods. Calling out to something else.
Yeah.
Like, there's a Sasquatch.
And I'm thinking, it's like all these years that Bigfoot has allegedly been around and all these people that have searched and technology and all this, it's like, and we ain't got solid proof once. It's like,
we don't have, do you remember that fake video or that fake picture of that one family that had a deep freezer.
Yeah.
And they put that like body, beat up animal in there with like all its like grungy ass hair and stuff coming off, and they're like, "Oh, we got it. We got it." And it comes back nothing.
Yeah.
DNA results.
What do you think about those people that go to like these abandoned houses and stuff?
Oh, the ghost hunters.
And it's like, "Oh, we got a little bit of movement on this little oxygen sensor. It pings." And I'm just like,
Full disclosure. Me and my roommate, who I'm going to see tomorrow, Marcus Weiss, every Friday night, we would stop what we were doing and we'd go into the room and we would turn on the Travel Channel and we'd watch that Zach guy with the spiked up black hair. And this was back in 2010. This was like right at the height of their popularity, like when that show like really started to hit stride, because they had that famous scene with that. It was a night vision camera, but you could see this rock like float across the room, and they did all these like different angles and stuff, and they were like, "Yeah, they're throwing rocks at us." And dude, we got hooked on that show. And honestly, if you ask Marcus to this day, I have no idea what gravitated to us, but like D&E had a haunted, we could go into, I don't remember what building it was on campus, but they would take you in there at like 2 o'clock at night, and you'd like sit in these rooms where like stuff had gone down and like all like this history, which I think that's what people get into is like the historical history. The historical side of the building and what like went on in it.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, people believe that energy.
Did you do it?
On.
Did you get it?
No, I never did it, but they did it.
Hey, so you said you wanted to try new things. Would you say me and you go out one night to like fucking the graveyard right down the road at like midnight one night when it's dark as hell
and just see something?
See, my thing is, I'm not necessarily a believer, but what if we did see some shit?
Exactly. What is it about that? What is it about that for people where you feel as though you're going to be the one that is going to crack the code that no one else has?
Nobody gonna believe us anyways. We go up there and see 15 ghosts and shit ourselves and come back and be like, hey, this is really what happened. I'm freaked out. And I'm like,
yeah, right.
You all drinking or, you know, were you fucking stoned?
Was there a cold breeze?
Yeah, like, I don't even get high. But you smoked something that night, didn't you? And I'm like, no. Like, we were sober. Like,
I think all it boils down to is that people want to be the first to discover something. And it doesn't matter what it is. We want to so badly to be, regardless of failure, we want to be the ones that cracked the code to prove to people that we weren't batshit crazy.
Yep.
And this goes across the board. You know, we're talking about ghosts. We're talking about Bigfoot. You know, aliens. Area 51's a huge thing, and Roswell, and like. There was that other podcast where Joe had on where he brought on those guys that worked at Area 51 and talked right. to them. And man, I'll tell you, I listened to it and I'll tell you, I was intrigued by it because he was talking about technology that has not been duplicated. He actually had a guy on that flew for the Air Force, and he said he came up on something, and it's his only story he's ever told about his flights. Because they did those midnight flights,
yeah.
And he said he had something take off on him that he had no idea. He said literally it went vertical and sideways and did different movements. That he's like, I've done aviation. He's like, I know aviation like the back of my hand. I could. There's nothing. There's no technology out there like that. And those stories right there is what gets you, like, just a little bit. Just
why would he lie?
Exactly. When you find somebody with credibility, a guy that's never told, like, the person that tells the Bigfoot story over and over again 500 times, 50 times, whatever, and they're on a stupid show, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy's full of shit. When one guy with credibility that's flown all these flights says he has one story for you, you believe that guy.
Yeah.
And that's what...
Yeah, it's like in my head, I'm like, is this motherfucker just making up some sick fucking story?
But he's never profited off of it, none of that. And it's just like, man, there's things out there that can't be explained, and I think that's what it goes down. I think it's what it comes back to. I don't know why we're confident about stuff that we can't prove, but I do know what it does to the psychologically of the brain is that it turns us on to us seeing something that no one else has seen, so that drives the excitement train. And it's fascinating, man. And I got a few more here. This one's a little more on par with kind of what we've talked about in personal conversations in the past is, and what we talked about with our goals in 2020 is why do we resist doing things that are good for us, like with our bodies? Why do we take in shit food? Why do we drink alcohol in excess? Why do we live sedentary lifestyles? Why do we wait in fucking line for 2 hours for a chicken sandwich? And then instead of that, you know, why aren't we doing things that are good for us? Like,
because it's too hard. People give up.
But why? That's the thing. Is like, if it's your car, you're going to take your car. If you're a respectable person and you just bought this car with your hard-earned money, you go down to the dealer, you throw him 30 grand, you're like, here, give me the finest one you got, sir. Yep. And he's like, here's the finest one I got. You do the paperwork, you drive off with it. Like, there's a sense of accomplishment.
Yep.
You take that sucker to the Valvoline oil change. Every 5,000 miles, you get it changed, you get new brakes on it, you put new tires on it, you do all that stuff. But when it comes to your body, and it's like, boom, throw that sucker away.
I think you do that because doing that to your body, it takes you to do physical, mental effort. To your car, yeah, it's just a dollar. It's a dollar sign, and you take it to old Joe Blow. He does it.
Yep. And you don't, get it you don't have to do anything on your own, is what you're telling me. And I think we have, and you can look at throughout human history, I think we have we are destructive. If it comes to ourselves, if it comes to our, you know, our communities, our people that we know, and things, businesses, stuff like CEOs, the whole gamut of things. I think it's, to me, it's just a thing where us as humans, we have a propensity to destroy and do things that aren't good for the humankind. And I don't know how we get over that hurdle. I think we're doing better in over the past 10 years and going into the next 10 years, I think we're going to be better. Some people would argue, Steven Pinker would argue, that we've never been better. But to me, I just believe, and I hope, and it's my optimistic viewpoint on this, is that I hope that with the more information that gets doled out there, that we start to roll back all the bad choices that we're making, and we start to really nail down and start creating good habits and taking care of what we need to take care of, not our possessions, but our well-beings. I think mental health is going to be a thing that's going to start to get tackled more. I think physical health, obviously, this day and age now, you tear your ACL, man, you might be back in 6 months. And, you know, there's just so many innovative things going on in science that I think eventually we're going to get to a point where humans aren't going to have a choice. You're not going to have a choice. You're going to have to take care of your body. And I feel as though, my hope is that we don't get into some utopia. I hope that we can find a balance. Like, there's nothing wrong with what we're doing tonight. We have a few adult beverages. We smoke a cigar. We sit down and have a conversation. It fires. Everything's cool. I don't feel like you and I are going to get cancer from this one night of enjoyment. You know what I mean? Or some sort of bad illness. But I hope in the future that people start to understand, like, you don't have to do all the bad things for such a long extended period of time.
Right.
You can have a lot of the good with some of the bad. Like an 80-20 rule, like we talked about in the New Year's podcast. 80% of the time, you're on your best behavior. You're drinking water, you're eating vegetables and meat, and you're exercising, you're moving, you're doing all those things. The other 20%, you have a party on a Saturday night, you have a few adult beverages, you have people over, you eat crap food, and you do your thing, and you wake up the next morning, you get back on the good train. Yep. I don't know what our propensity is to destroy everything, but my hope is that in the future, everything finds a balance. Yes. We find a balance in all of this. Hey, look, man, I could be wrong, but I have high hopes, but we'll see. And right, we got two more.
All right.
One's pretty easy. I think we're both going to agree on this one. And the last one, I think, is going to be a little more intriguing. But this first one is, and this is up your alley, and now that I've kind of came into your business, do you, as a business owner, and it's opinion-based, do you, as a business owner, have the right to refuse your service?
I think you do. And the big topic of our listeners is, I think it was the cake in some route where...
Dude, I thought about that same exact
one. Cake where... Yep.
Gay couple that walked into the bakery and wanted a cake baked for their gay wedding.
And I think, as a business owner, a cake owner, this is my opinion. If I come to you and I say, "Hey, man, I'm getting ready to get married to my husband. I'm gay and I want this," and the business owner looks at me and says, "Even if they do it in a shitty way or a polite way," and they say, "Well, look, appreciate you choosing me. I don't believe in that. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going
to
do
it. I'll try to help you find somebody that
will. Or even if I just say, fuck off, get out. As a customer, why do you keep pushing that issue?
Well,
go somewhere else.
The caveat to that story was is that they went to like six other bakeries and they got turned down as well.
Okay.
From what I was told. And that's the thing. I think this was a perfect example of someone trying to find attention and they finally found it. And they didn't like the results.
So they went
public.
So go to another state or go to another county. Order the motherfucker offline.
I agree. And I have a specific example that happened to me and a few friends when we were at an establishment where a loiter, I'll refer to them as a loiter. You can take that for what it is. But basically what was happening was, and this happens probably at any local coffee shop or even Starbucks, where someone comes in and there's people in there, paying customers that are in there, and everyone knows that something is happening by the way the loiter's actions are, and basically what they're asking for is some sort of handout. Right. Where a paying customer sees that go down and they automatically build resentment because they paid for theirs.
Why are you giving them
something free? Well, what happened was, the story goes, the loiter decided that they wanted more than what the business owner was going to offer.
So they wanted a cup of coffee and they wanted the extra large, but they got a fucking
They wanted more. And basically, as all business owners, I think, have the right to do, I agree with you on this topic, is they basically said, get out. Now, everyone had their opinion about that. And that's fine. I'm totally fine to have that discussion. What my thing was is that once you start to disturb the public, you no longer have the right to be there.
Yeah.
And if I'm there just trying to have a conversation with my group of friends, and you're coming in and you're distracting from that,
you're bitching because you're not getting enough free.
Then I'm not saying you don't deserve a cup of water. What I'm saying is that you're disturbing the public. And in any instance in where you disturb the public, the public has a right, and the people in that vicinity have the right to tell you to get the hell out of here because you're ruining my good time.
Yeah.
Because I didn't come here to watch your show. I came here to enjoy this person's services and have a good conversation
with
my friends.
And as a business owner, I have the right to refuse you a free handout. I don't have to give a shit to you in the beginning. So if you don't like what I'm going to offer you for free.
And I think it's awesome that the services are even offered up in that aspect. Like if I were out on the streets and I needed somewhere to get a cup of water, and I walked into a business and they give me a cup of water, I'm in my moralistic mind, I better turn around with that cup of water and walk right out of there.
That was like when we was in Vegas with that secret pizza place, and we sat in that outdoor in that lobby area, and we didn't have any water, and we were all piss ass drunk.
Yep.
And you came back with the pizza and you said they didn't have no drinks. So I went over to that restaurant and I went to the bar and I waited on the side, and the guy came over and I said, look, man, we just got pizza.
Can I get a pitcher of water, bro?
Yeah, can I? I said, I'll buy the water. I said, but I need some water. I said, you know, I got a buddy over here that's like really drunk that needs some water. And I said, we just can't get it. And he was like, and I said, just name the price. I'll pay for it. I don't care. He's like, man, why don't I just get? He's like, I'll just give you water. He was like, he's like, how many cups you need? I was like, well, four. He's like, you want a tray? And I was like, yeah. So he went out of his way and gave me the water.
And that's respectable.
And I threw him a $10 bill. And I said, well, here's a tip. And he's like, well, I'm just kind of the manager. I'm not the bartender. And I was like, well, then just
give the bartender
a $10 tip and say thanks for the water.
Well, that was nice of you. But so, that's the thing. Like, I agree. I think they have the right to refuse service if they deem there is something happening that is disrupting everyone else's time.
I've seen people cut grass and they cut a neighbor's yard. They cut two yards on the same street. Well, one neighbor pays every time, on time, doesn't bitch about nothing. If you miss a spot, they say, hey, get that. It's taken care of. And you got the other neighbor that bitches every time you're over there. you might get paid that week. You might have to fight for it, you know, haggle, you know, take notes. And then when your notes or payment doesn't add up with their payment, they question like, well, didn't I pay you for that? It's like, no, you weren't here or whatever. So then it's like, all right. And then the next year, you go back to the good neighbor and you're like, fuck, that neighbor on the
I ain't cutting
her yard because she's more of a pain in the ass than it is worth $25 or whatever.
Yeah, so it ain't worth my time.
Hell with her. And then, you know, she comes out, she's like, well, why aren't you cutting my yard this year? And it's like, well, do you really want me to tell you why?
Don't lie.
Like, I'll tell you why, and then it's like,
you can't, you might not be able to handle it, but here it is.
It's like, you tell them why, you say it in a nice way, and then they're like, well, I didn't know you never said anything. And it's like, yeah, I did, because if I told you I cut it twice, and you weren't home, and I give you the dates,
and you tell me
And then you tell me, you know, you either paid me for them, or I didn't cut it, it's like, okay, well, I don't want to fucking argue with you.
Yeah.
Because then you're trying to get something.
Oh, I remember the Zach instance in which that happened up on Woodrum's Lane.
Well, that one, and that was, it's like.
And that was a near and dear to our heart, no name dropping or anything, but man, that was a tough pill for me to swallow when your credibility was put into question because of something that didn't happen. And I just, it takes everything you have not just to bite your tongue, where you're like, man, you know, there's no way we didn't do what we said we did. And then you come out and say, well, you're not giving us a certain amount of money because we didn't do it all the way.
It's like, yeah, right, man.
And that ended up, that drug all the way throughout the rest of the year.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it goes hand in hand. And you being a business owner and me helping you out when I can, I never fault you for ever turning work down.
Yep.
Because there are just certain people out there, they're not worth working for.
Yeah,
and I think if you're a customer, you got to realize that.
Yep,
and you have to be good to the person that's doing the job for you, man. You can't treat them like crap.
I think all business owners that have started something or whatever, and if you're paying the taxes, paying for the equipment, paying for the storefront, you're making a living and busting your ass to make a business, you have a right to refuse or make whatever service. You have the right to do whatever hours you want. No hours you want, whatever, food industry, serve whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because if you're taking the risk, then you call the shots.
You're taking a big risk, dog. And this is a great segue into the last one. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous of the guy beside you because they're getting a good job done and you were getting that job done, but yet you hassled your freaking business owner and you didn't want to pay him or you didn't know when to pay him and blah 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 blah. Don't be jealous because their yard looks good and yours doesn't.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, and that's the last question, is that does jealousy have value in driving humans to improve their behavior, or is it just purely a negative emotion? I think for me in the past, when I've been at the height of my jealousy stages, where like I felt like I was the man and I couldn't figure out why I was getting, like, let's, for example, like in the dating scene, when I felt like, oh yeah, like I left you, then you decide to move on, and then I looked at that other guy that you moved on to, and I'm like, well, why'd you move on to him? You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's like, for me, I had to grow up in the sense of like, I had to figure out like, hey, if they moved on from you and you're jealous about it, or you moved on from them first, then they moved on from you, and you're jealous because you think you're better than that other person.
You ain't over that,
bro. And you can't set your ego to the side and just realize like, hey, like, it did this situation make me want to be a better person, or is it literally just the fact that like it's just all negative? Like it's just like, oh, that guy's trash or that girl's trash, and like there's nobody better than me. And I've seen that a lot in our teenage years and our early adult lives, where the dating scene's rough in that aspect, where like you can't figure out why somebody
left you
and you can't figure out why you're jealous about it. But to me, if I'm looking back at it as an adult, I gotta look at it myself and be like, well, maybe I was a piece of shit in that scenario.
Yeah.
And maybe that dude is treating her better now.
Right.
And maybe she deserves that, regardless of how she is. Maybe she does deserve that sort of treatment.
And I don't know if jealous, I see a lot of people that are jealous, and I don't necessarily think it makes them want to do better. Because I think when people are jealous and it wants to make them do better, I think it requires too much work to do better. So I think people just usually go to talking shit or...
So it drives the negative emotion.
Just being negative, because that's easier.
It's way easier. Because it jealousy drives a sort of introspective. If you were looking at it from the first angle, it should drive the introspective viewpoint, and you got to really take a hard look in the mirror and be like, maybe I'm not who I thought I was. And that's what I guess I should tell. This is how people should look at it.
Yep.
And they shouldn't look at it as a negative. But you know that's like you said, it's an easy trap. Maybe when you're jealous of something, maybe for instance, if you're jealous that a household that you know makes more money than you, or has a better life than you, or they got a new car and you can't figure out why you don't have that car and you don't have that house and you don't have that life. Maybe you need to sit down and really reevaluate the choices that you made and start making changes.
Yeah, and if you can't afford it, then it's like, all right, so you get a new truck, and I'm jealous of that truck because you got a full-size truck, but maybe you make $20,000 more than me. Maybe you don't have kids and I got kids, and it's like, but you really want a truck? It's like, why don't you just work to get in your own truck? Maybe you get a Toyota Tacoma, and it's like...
Yeah, maybe it's not as nice a truck.
Maybe it's not a full-size truck, but you know what? I got my truck.
Exactly. That
it does it for me, or it fits in my budget, or it fits in my lifestyle. It's like...
Stop trying to keep up with the Joneses is the best way to put it, and the way I think about it is like, if you're comparison is the thief of joy. If you're comparing yourself to others... and you're jealous of others because they have more than you, then you need to reevaluate and start to appreciate what you do have and stop worrying about what others have.
Yep.
And that's just the facts. I mean, I think people will start to see more, you know, happiness is a weird, weird term. Finding happiness and keeping it, I think that's sometimes unattainable. I just believe that if people start looking at it the way we're talking about it right now, yep. You'll live a more fulfilled life.
And just because you see something with somebody and you're jealous.
It ain't all good.
Him have that and you're like, oh, they got that perfect little family I'm jealous of and I wish my husband would.
You have no
kiss
idea.
Kiss me in public. But you know what? That husband also might be punching her or choking her at the house. Or
got the side piece.
Yeah, or makes her, you know, she can't wear a thong or she has to wear granny panties and a... You know, whatever. I don't know. I'm just throwing that shit out. I don't know if thongs are still in.
Are they still a thing?
I asked Chelsea one time.
I haven't seen a thong in the laundry basket in a long time.
I asked Chelsea one time if she still wore thongs, and she said she hadn't worn those since like high school. So I guess for my wife, a thong's
out. It's comfortability, dog. Gotta be comfortable.
Yeah, so thongs are out, I guess. I don't know if any of our listeners are out there and you're a female or you have female acquaintances. And ask them. Send us an email. Drop us a line. Thongs in or out.
Thongs in 2020. Thongs in or out.
Time.
Some straight butt floss, dog. Yeah. Are you still butt flossing?
God, I remember when those were in.
Remember when you first saw one of those things?
You're like, man, that's awesome. She got a thong on. I was like, all right. God, what fucking losers.
Wow. All right, man. That's it. We're wrapping on that one.
Episode 5.
It was a fun one. I enjoyed this one a lot. I think... take what you want from this. Hopefully you don't take it all, but I think you should. There are certain aspects that we just hit on.
Don't be a liar.
Don't be a liar, dog.
Let's get some reviews on the thongs.
Yeah, get some reviews on the thongs. Let us know if they're still out there doing the Cisco thong, the thong, thong, thong. All right. Till next time, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, we appreciate the support again. Blase Blase Podcast, no longer verbal diarrhea for the marketing purposes. Karis cuts up and collar. Go get your hair did. Hit up our girl Casey SQ on Facebook for some LuLaRoos. Get your tights on. And
if you're interested in the stock market, you want to look at the Robinhood app, let me know. Yeah. I will send
Hopefully
you.
Hopefully, we can get them as a sponsor.
I will send you a link to the Robinhood app. Ooh. You get a free stock, and I get a free
stock.
Let me know.
There you go.
I'll shoot you an email
ASAP. A little promotion. Yeah. And always support the podcast at at anchor.fm. You can hop on there. I think there's a link in our bio in which you can support us on a monthly basis if you want. Throw us a couple dollars, and then maybe we can get the equipment upgrades that we're after, and then get upstairs and get a table set up, and we'll sit around a table and chit-chat, and, you know, this thing will just continue rolling as is. But, again, appreciate everyone out there listening. This was a fun one, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace out.